Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com. so you can review the program on your own.
Today's world, I feel pressure. I don't think it's ever been like this before. The pressure is unbelievable. I think it's important for us to make our homes perfection-free homes.
I care desperately about what I do. Do I know what product I'm selling? No. Do I know what I'm doing today? No. But I'm here, and I'm going to give it my best shot.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
I'm Jim Burns. When she was only 17 years old, Jennifer Strickland was living the dream of many young women. Top modeling agencies considered her the face of the 90s. She worked the runways for Armani and represented many other great international brands. She was well on her way to becoming a supermodel. By the world standards, Jennifer Strickland had it all. Money, beauty and success. But God had other plans for her. Then a man in Germany literally stopped her on the street, told her to go home because you cannot sell beauty. Well, Jennifer left the modeling world for good. During the next half hour, I'm going to continue my story with this former perfect girl who found true beauty in her relationship with God, her husband, and her children. Well, if you have daughters, you will definitely want to hear what Jennifer Strickland has to say about helping them develop a healthy body image. So stay with us for this continuing conversation here on Homeward. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A continuing conversation today about a perfect girl who finds true beauty. Her name is Jennifer Strickland. Her story is in a great book called Girl Perfect, Confessions of a Former Runway Model. And she's back with us. She lives in Lake Arrowhead, California, with her husband, Shane, and they have two beautiful children. She also has a fantastic cousin named Kelly, who's a part of the Homeward staff. So I want to say hi to Kelly as well, one of my favorite people. This is a woman who is modeled for Giorgio Armani. I know people are supposed to be impressed with that. I'm not one of these Armani. I know who he is, but I learned a lot from the book, as well as ads in Oil of Olay, Mercedes, Converse. That's the one I'm excited about. It's a tennis shoes. I know that one. Cherry Coke and the rest, Jordache, Eddie Bauer. My goodness, the list goes on. Welcome to our program and welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Jennifer Strickland and I love you and believe in you and believe so much in the message that you have, but your life has not necessarily been easy. I mean, you were traveling the world by about age 17. You're making up to $3,000 a day for a photo shoot, which would now be, you know, a lot more probably. And you were even chosen to be Barbie for the country of Italy. It was the 35th anniversary celebration. I mean, that's pretty incredible, but you said you were miserable.
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest, when I was Barbie, that was one of my lower points.
Well, tell us about that. I mean, Barbie, people are like almost worshiping Barbie, and yeah, it's one of your lowest points.
Yeah, I was offered the job, and we took it. The agency took it because it paid quite a bit of money, and I went to this place called Gardaland in Italy, which is kind of like their version of Disneyland. And I was struggling really badly with being very, very lonely in the business, being away from my family, needing unconditional love. I was struggling with anorexia. I was having bad problems with acne. I remember the makeup artist covering all of that all over my face and the stylist covering my protruding bones with adding straps to the dress and things like that and gloves because they didn't want anyone to see how thin I was. But that's why I was able to do the Barbie thing, is because I was anorexic, because Barbie, the measurements are totally unrealistic for a real person. So, you know, they were wanting to cover all of that, but at the same time, they hired me to do it. So I remember coming out in the auditorium and the children all running at me and screaming, "Barbie, Barbie, we love you. Te amo. And inside, I just felt like it was just all a facade. It was all a joke. I was really hurting inside.
I mean, you were this perfect model, the perfect Barbie, and yet you were depressed at times. You were anorexic. You were sexually involved in relationships that were inappropriate. You were taking drugs at times.
even sometimes people said, well, you know, you're too ugly right now because you have all this stuff going on. And yet you kept doing it. What drove you?
It was the only world I knew. It was what I call in the book, the perfect dream. Mm-hmm. For Jen, for me, that everybody believed that because of my height and appearance and everything, that that was absolutely what I would do with my life. That it was just obvious. It was the dream that I was supposed to live. And so I really didn't know any other path for myself.
Well, talk about the perfect dream, because a lot of people have a perfect dream. It may not be being a model, but one of the perfect dreams is that perhaps even for younger girls, some of our children, you know, that Prince Charming will come and, you know, take them off and sweep them away, and, you know, life will be perfect, and, you know, the marriage will be perfect, and they'll have three kids who all are perfect with a white picket fence and all that.
Right.
I don't really see it like that very often.
But it never happens that way.
But you believe that that was kind of happening for you.
Yeah, I believed that working for people like Giorgio Armani and living this life was going to bring me the happiness that the world told me as a child that it would. That if I became the princess in the fairy tale, then I would have the happily ever after. And of course, that was also tied to meeting the prince and so forth. But I had met a bunch of princes that didn't exactly bring me a happily ever after.
They were kind of frogs once we kind of learned this.
Yeah, they turned out to be frogs, but. But there wasn't the happily ever after.
Right.
And I think that really surprised me. I think that I really thought that being successful and making money and looking good and meeting the prince and all of this was going to bring me peace, love, and happiness and hope and a future. And it didn't. The things that the world promises don't necessarily deliver.
Yeah. You know, later on in your career, you started using drugs to kind of mask these feelings of loneliness and depression. And frankly, for a while, they kind of worked.
Yeah, sure. Because it numbed the feeling that I was never good enough. And I really used, and they were mild drugs, but they were drugs, okay, all the way through to sort of numb the pain of not really knowing who I was underneath the getup.
Yeah. How did you begin coming together? I mean, here you were kind of this beautiful runway model, unhappy as all get out, but they didn't know it because the pictures looked beautiful. But then you began to say, you know what, there may be something more to this. How did that happen?
Well, in Italy, there are churches on every single street corner. Sure. And I used to always peek in and look at the murals on the wall and see this, you know, the history of Christ and his life on the walls of the churches. And I remember getting it down on my knees in a pew, the very back row at one time, and just saying, you know what, God, if you're real, if any of this is real, I want you to show yourself to me. I want you to prove that to me. Show your face to me. Show me that you exist. Right. And after that, it was just crazy. You know, I lost all my jobs. I got everything stolen from me. And then I met, and that all led to me meeting a girl in a small hill town outside of Rome, Italy. She told me about Christ and that Christ could heal me and that he could free me. And I still didn't believe it necessarily. And then I moved on to Germany. And there I met a group of people who were handing out Bibles in a park. And they reached out to me.
They handed you a Bible, and you said it was like a glass of water.
Yeah.
What did you mean?
It was funny because the Bible was written in German, but I took it anyway. And then they got me a little English version of the Good News Bible, and I began to read it. And it was like pouring water on a parched and very, very thirsty soul. And I just began drinking the word and drinking and drinking and drinking until it began to fill me up. And it really had a very supernatural effect on me.
You know, when you're talking about that, Germany was a big deal for you. And you even told another story about an elderly gentleman, I think. He stopped you in the street and said something like, you could not sell your beauty anymore. I mean, what was that all about?
Well, I had been reading the Good News Bible at home in my little lonely apartment. And I remember it talking about the wide and narrow road. That was one of the first things that really struck me. Because when the Bible talked about the wide road, I realized that I was actually on the wide road. And I had no idea how to get over to the narrow road. So there's this one day, I'm going into the city of Munich on my way to a casting. And I was on this really wide road. And I was thinking to myself, I am on the wide road. And there was no trees and there was no life. It was very just sort of dry and barren. And literally this man just stopped me in the middle of the road. And he told me that I needed to turn around and go back the other way. And he asked me what I was doing in Germany, and it finally came out that I was modeling there. And he told me, he said, "My dear, you cannot sell your face. You cannot sell beauty. Now turn around. Now go back. Go back the way you came." I'm like, "Well, I'm going to a casting." And he says, "You go to them to see if they want to use you like a piece of furniture? This is terrible. Turn around. Go back." And I mean, he convinced me. He literally convinced me to turn around and quit modeling. And I gave my life to Christ very shortly after meeting that man on the street.
That's an incredible story. And by the way, you do a good imitation, too. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Jennifer Strickland with us. A Perfect Girl Finds True Beauty is what we're talking about. Jennifer was a model for Armani and many others, and a runway model. Incredible, beautiful person, and beautiful today, not just on the outside, but on the inside as well.
Well, Jennifer Strickland is a welcome guest here on the Homeward broadcast because of what she can speak to. And this is a very, very important topic. And we always hear from moms. We always hear from girls, too, young daughters who are interested about Jennifer's life and ministry and career. And you'll find a link on our website today at homeward.com to learn more about Jennifer, her book, Girl Perfect, and the ministry that she has speaking to women of all ages about body image and health issues and things like that. And we'll have the conclusion of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Jennifer Strickland on the other side of this break as Homeward continues.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation, an incredible conversation. Actually, every young girl should hear this too, by the way. Get the great book. Jennifer Strickland, Girl Perfect, Confessions of a Former Runway Model. Jennifer Strickland, a former runway model with people like Giorgio Armani and all kinds of incredible modeling. Lives in Lake Arrowhead, California today with her husband, Shane, and two children. And she's doing something much more important, frankly, than modeling. She's helping young women and women as well understand that no matter how much you stumble and fall, God always is there, loving you unconditionally and picking up the pieces. Jennifer, right before the break, you did this great imitation, but a man said to you in Germany, "Turn around, go back, you know, don't sell your beauty anymore." And you basically took that as almost a word from God. And actually, right after that, if I remember right, you headed into the forest to kind of explore this New Testament. I mean, tell the story.
I did, yeah. I actually fasted for a week and only read the New Testament. I should not have been fasting because of my experience with the eating disorder. I just want to throw that out. But God really used it as a time for me to turn my life over Him. And I read pretty much the sum of the New Testament and gave my life over to Christ and realized, I remember reading about all these people who were being rejected by, you know, people in their community, the sinful woman, you know, the demon-possessed man. And over and over and over again, there was Christ there who accepted them and loved them. And I had experienced so much rejection in the modeling industry and this desperate feeling that if I failed at this, I wasn't going to be accepted at home, which of course I was going to be, but I had this fear that if I didn't live up to the perfect dream that everyone seemed to have for my life, that I had failed somehow. And so I connected so much with all these people who came to Jesus, who were broken and battered and confused and suffering, and He loved them as they were. And I felt the very same thing from God as I approached Him.
In many ways, I think you said that really you felt God had kept His eye of protection on you during this whole journey. But in fact, on your way back from the forest, before you even headed home, you missed your train, but God provided you a means to get home.
Yeah, like I said, I had all these people come to my path.
Yeah.
And I had prayed that God would show Himself to me and prove Himself to me if He was real. And He did. He did that through a series of people. Yeah, I missed my train on my way back from the Black Forest in Germany. I didn't have any money on me. And I actually hitchhiked, which, again, don't recommend. But I remember getting on the side, down on my knees on the side of the road of the Autobahn and just saying, okay, I knew God saw me. By then, I absolutely 100% was convinced that He could see me and that He could hear me. And I remember praying for a warm car and a kind person. And once again, an old gray-haired man with bright blue eyes pulled over, and he took me safely back to Munich. He gave me all the money in his wallet. He gave me all the food in his cooler. And I was afraid to eat because I had been fasting. I was suffering from this eating disorder and everything else. And he convinced me that it was okay. And God really used that man too, just total strangers,
yeah,
to finally bring me back home.
Isn't that something? Now, by choosing to leave modeling and follow the Lord, you say that you found what you called perfect freedom.
I did. I found God's perfect dream for my life, and I found the perfect path, and eventually He gave me the perfect freedom. The perfect path was the narrow road. It was the road that led to Christ for me, and the perfect dream that God had for my life was to heal me and to use me to help other girls. But the perfect freedom for me came, I actually studied Beth Moore's phenomenal Bible study, Breaking Free, while I was writing the book. And I think that I finally got completely free when I was done writing. It's taken me a long time. But for me, freedom was freedom from perfect. It was that, you know what? I don't have to look perfect anymore. I don't have to be perfect anymore. I don't have to portray this perfect image, that it's enough in God's eyes to be filled with His perfect love. That's really what God wants for us. He wants to free us from the demands of the world and give us the only perfect that there is, and that's His Son.
Your message is for women to see themselves the way God sees them. I want you to take some time to help us understand that. Talk about how we can find healing in the fact that God cares for our hurts and for our pain. And God loves us unconditionally, not for what we do, but for who we are.
Well, He made us. Mm-hmm. And we've got to get that in our heads and also in our hearts. And God never made us to be perfect. If we were perfect the way the world tells us we're supposed to be, we would never long for Him. We would never need Him. We wouldn't be drawn to the only perfect there is, and that is God. So we are His creations. We are also His daughters. He calls us His daughters, and He says He wants to lavish us with His love. We are His beloved daughters, and we're His temples. He wants to reign in us. He wants to fill us with Himself. That is who we are in Christ, and I don't think that enough women, there are so many women and girls sitting in churches, and I know this as I go around and travel and speak, there are so many that hate their bodies, that don't feel beautiful, that don't feel enough, feel all this pressure with plastic surgery and everything else that the world is screaming at them. And I really think the deepest issue is they don't look at themselves through eyes of grace. They don't look at themselves through the eyes of God. They're looking at themselves through the eyes of the world. And if we continue to do that, we're never going to measure up.
How do you get that message across to kids today?
I think you have to continually remind them and telling them, even Psalm 139, really just instilling that in them, that God handcrafted them in their mother's wombs, that He had dreams for their life, that He put gifts and talents in them, and encouraging our daughters too to discover their gifts and talents. Because a lot of the girls in this generation are totally obsessed with their outward appearance. And we need to continually remind them that God put gifts and talents in these bodies, and that their value is not in their bodies. It's not in the outward shell, but it's in the fact that they are creations of God and that He has a dream for their life. And they can find that dream by looking at their gifts and talents. When I found God's dream for my life, I really found the perfect dream. And His dream was that He would use my gifts and talents to impact this generation. His dream was never that I would be a size 4. That's right. Not His dream, right, for us. His dream is so much bigger than that.
Right. That's great. You know, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And in many ways, the perfect dream is about being set free in Christ to not crave the way the world looks at our bodies or our images or our life or whatever, but the way God does it. He's a God of grace, isn't He?
He is.
You know that well. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
Jennifer Strickland, what a privilege. Her book is called Girl Perfect, and I recommend it.
What a great conversation today with Dr. Jim Burns and author Jennifer Strickland here on the Homeward Broadcast. For From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Check us out online at homeward.com, by the way, and you'll find a number of resources available to help you, some printed, some video, many of them without cost. Jim, our website isn't perfect, but it is a lot of fun. And perfection is a big issue for kids these days. And what a good conversation today with Jennifer Strickland to remind us all of the importance, especially for parents, to stress to our kids that we don't have to be perfect.
Boy, there is so much of it. And, you know, as I get into this, just let me say, the new Homeward website is amazing.
Yeah,
I actually was looking at it today and went, oh, my goodness.
Just
launched
it.
Audio, video, obviously books and resources, but a lot of free tip sheets. Just it's kind of the Google for parenting. It's a great website. I'm impressed. Anyway, back to Jennifer's story. You know, I think it's an important message for everyone. And I think it's especially important for kids. We've got to get this across to them that they don't have to be perfect. Today's world, I feel pressure for kids today. I don't think it's ever been like this before. They have to get great grades in school. They want the perfect SAT, the perfect GPA. They actually want to do body image things like get breast enhancements, some of these girls, you know, at age 15.
Right.
The pressure is unbelievable. I think it's important for us to make our homes perfection-free homes.
That's a good idea.
We honestly just can't do this anymore. I mean, this is crazy. What they need is unconditional love. They need unconditional acceptance. That doesn't mean that we don't hold boundaries, and it doesn't mean that we don't set boundaries for our kids. We don't express expectations. But I think sometimes as parents, we're pushing them too hard, and this is causing them to want to look like that Armani model or try to get the kind of grades that maybe they honestly can't get. I mean, hey, let's celebrate it. My girls this year in college got all B's and A's, and yet they were complaining. You know, Heidi said she was 2 points off of an A-minus and couldn't understand why the teacher didn't give her an A-minus. Well, she got a B+.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I celebrate that.
Sure,
okay?
Sure.
But I know it's important for us because we sometimes want our kids to excel so much in this fascinating world. So look at parents. It's called perfection-free zone. Make your home that. You know, the perfectionist child is afraid to fail. And also remember to keep your kids striving for excellence instead of perfection. You know, my dad was one of these folks who wanted us to excel, but not necessarily be perfect. And I really appreciate that. There's a difference. You know, you were talking, Roger, about a person you know who's a teacher.
Right.
And she was telling you that, you know, today's parents want their kids to be perfect, perfect grades, like we were saying, and not just excel. And I can remember a time in sports where my dad, I'd had a horrible game, and it truly was a horrible game. I'd pitched horrible, and I'd played horrible baseball, and I always thought I was going to sign and be a professional baseball player like my brother. And he came to me, and he just said, Jimmy, I'm so proud of you. You did a good job. And he said good things. And then he did correct me with a couple of things because Dad really did understand baseball. But what I realized in that was I didn't feel the pressure to be perfect, but I did feel the desire to excel. And I think that's important. So I think we do that so often when we affirm our children, when we encourage our children, not necessarily try to push them toward perfection. Kids who say to me, my mom basically always acts like it's never good enough. You know what? That's mom's problem. That's actually not the kid's problem. And I think we've got to change that. And I appreciate what Jennifer had to say about looks because I think it's probably the number one issue for so many young women today. And we as parents have to be very, very careful how we handle that.
Yeah, two big issues that we've covered over the past couple of programs here on Homeward. Jennifer Strickland's book, Girl Perfect, reminds us that girls deal with body image issues all the time. But also just that kids in general are facing the pressure to be perfect. And that we as parents can really set the tone there in terms of helping them to not feel that they have to be perfect, but rather to strive for excellence. And thanks to Jennifer Strickland for being with us here on the program the past couple of days. Here at Homeward, we are part of the Azusa Pacific University family, the Homeward Center for Youth and Family here. You can become a fan of APU on Facebook and watch videos, learn about upcoming events, and read upcoming students' current experiences. Just go to facebook.com/Azusa Pacific for more. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.